You're live, brother. Radio. You're on. Go, Miracle Man. Are you there? I can see him. All right, you're live. Go ahead.
Well, hello, everybody.
All right, you're live. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear
you.
Go for it, man.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We're sorry about...
No, he just got on, but it went off again.
All right, are you there?
Yes, preacher.
Are you
can
there?
You hear me? Yes.
Yep. You got it. Go for it.
Yes. So, praise God, everybody. We're live on the air on a Monday night, the Monday before Christmas, and the programming we have planned tonight is going to prove that it is, in fact, a week before Christmas, because we're going to talk about Christmas tonight. We're going to read some verses in Matthew, and I'm going to give you a list and exhort on 5 reasons we celebrate Jesus, I mean Christmas, based on some things Jesus did for us. And so, also, what we're also... Well, also, we're also going to talk about, I'm going to give my sports update from everything that happened this weekend in the NFL. And some picks I got wrong, other picks of the games I picked, I got exactly right. There's a couple of games that I didn't pick that I was surprised by the outcome, so I'm going to get to those. I'm going to give you an update on what the playoff picture is looking like, various teams. And so, the bowl season has started, so we got the football bowl games coming up. Without further ado, though, I got a couple announcements to make. Number one. If you would like to call into the show, you may. There's a special number you can call us at. It is 383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. And we can talk about anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. And also, we have a new house rule that I'm going to remind you guys about, and that is this. Please keep your comments, you want to talk. Let's keep it family friendly, because we want families to be able to enjoy the show. So just keep in mind that it needs to be appropriate for all ages. So if you can help us with that, that would be greatly appreciated. But also, if it's politics you want to talk about, what we're gonna do is we're gonna tell you to pray. But we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk to you. We love you very much, and I gave you the number where you can call us. Also, you have joined us, and here's how you can refer friends to the show. You can tell them in the web browser on your laptop or your computer. I mean, in your computer, your mobile phone, your iPad. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word, and then under the search bar there'll be a search bar or a link where you can search. What you'll do is you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. Then you'll see us, Living Large, Preacher and the Miracle Man, episode number 57. Yeah, this is the 57th time that we've done this together as the Preacher and the Miracle Man. And we have all these other episodes all archived for you. All those football picks, all the encouragement I've done on faith, all the Christmas songs I've done so far in the Christmas season, and my exhortations. And we've got great stuff up there. We have my Waffle House trip. I mean, Waffle House broadcast, excuse me, in which I was at a Waffle House describing what I was eating and stuff. We have something about a party I was at. But, yeah, all that's up there for you guys to enjoy and listen to. You can listen to them at work. You can listen to them at home. You can listen to them when you're driving to your families for Christmas this year. So it's amazing. But we want to remind you of this. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always. So when you go to blogtalkradio.com and you search Preacher and Miracle Band, you search Upfront Entertainment, and then you click on the thing that says Preacher and Miracle Man. What you do is you hit that follow button. Then you're going to get notified every time we do a show. For example, tomorrow night, we're going to do a show. Then what's going to happen is you're going to be notified. And then we're going to go live to the and do the show. That's how we do this. That's how it works. You'll be notified right before we do the show. And then we'll be live, and you get to enjoy us and what God has for us. So, without further ado, I already told you the plan, except for that I forgot to mention that there will be a Christmas song tonight. Which I will be singing the kind of a bridge between my exhortation. But first, we're going to get started with the meat of the night with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up the show to you tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bless this audience. You bless those who have given up time to and have chosen to spend time with us, to be enriched, to be enlightened, to be changed by your word, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you'd bless them, as we know that faith comes by hearing, so that you would just bless them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you bless these people who, as I talk tonight about what Jesus came, I mean, those five reasons about Christmas that, you know, and Jesus' agenda, what he came to do. I thank God that they'll be able to tell others what those things are that he came to do. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless us and you bless my voice. And I just thank you, Lord God, that for great sponsors coming onto the show. And I thank you, Lord God, that in your name, the listenership is going to grow. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to skip the genealogy. I'm going to go right to the part where it talks about the Christmas story. And I'm going to go into chapter 2. So I'm going to go from Matthew 1:21 into chapter 2, and then go through chapter 2, wherever the Christmas story ends. So I read you the Luke version of the Christmas story last time. This time I'm going to read you the Matthew version. So without further ado, I'm just finding my place real quick. If you have your Bibles, we want this to be a show where people participate. What this means is that we would love for you to, if you got a Bible with you, open it and read along. If you sing, we sing. And that's how it works. If I'm exhorting, especially if it's on a point that I feel is very important and is going to change your life for so much better if you listen, then I would really want you to be listening. And so that's how we do it. And when I said 121, I meant to say 118. Nonetheless, here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And I begin reading right now. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want him to expose her by public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. One version says put her away quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from... He'll save his people from prayer, church attendance, reading their Bible, and their pastor. Oh, does it say that?
No.
Oh! That's the way some people feel. Some people think they have the freedom to sin, and that rather than being free of sin. And that's a serious problem. I feel like the Lord's going to want me to talk about this here for a second, but I'm going to do that after I read the story. They shall give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus died so we would be free from sin. He came so we'd be free from sin, not free to sin. Some of these user-friendly churches have it all wrong when they say that it doesn't matter. You can drink as long as you don't get drunk. You can smoke this marijuana as long as you don't get high. But hey, it's not how this works. God has rules and regulations, and we have to follow them. Nonetheless, I had preached on me for a second, but I shall get back to the reading. He shall save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He gave him the name Jesus. Now we begin with chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him was also disturbed. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so he fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. In accordance of the time he had learned from the Magi, then what was said to the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah. Rachel, in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. He went and lived in a town called Nazareth. He will be called a Nazarene. So, there is the Matthew version of the wonderful story that we always call the Christmas story. Now, God was really pricking me earlier to talk about something, and I must obey. Folks, there's this user-friendly, happy-go-lucky movement that's been going on in the church ever since the turn of the century.
Bonnie, is that about right? Since the turn of the century? Or was it the 90s?
Well, turn of the century.
Well, we'll say 20 years. The last 20 years or so, there's been this very ungodly, unrighteous movement that basically says this: don't worry, be happy. No, it's not it's nothing against the song, but it basically says, don't worry, be happy. You can drink some beer as long as you don't get drunk. You can smoke all these smokes as long as you don't get high. You can blah 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 blah. Oh, by the way, it's just a white lie. What's it matter? Hey, you know what? That's not true. Here's the truth. Jesus came to save us from our sins. We don't have freedom to sin. We're ruined when it comes to sin. According to the Bible, we're ruined. We have Jesus who is willing and ready and able to forgive us. But we can't be breaking all kinds of hedges and holding grudges against our brother and calling our own shots and all this crazy stuff. We can't be doing that. We cannot follow Jesus the way we want to. We have to do it the way God says to. Pastor said it. Other preachers have said it. I just said it. The Bible said it. All these preachers who are just all user-friendly and hide the Holy Ghost in the back room, I would strongly advise you not to listen to them anymore. Because they don't have the power. They don't have the power. They don't have it. You know, and all those pyrotechnics and all that stuff, if it was a spirit-filled church who was doing the pyrotechnics and stuff, I'd be all for it. What you got to look at, though, is not how entertaining the church is. You got to look at it, is the Word of God taught here? Because the Word of God is what brings life. It's not how loud the music is. It's not the entertainment factor. It's not. It's about Jesus. It's about, are we getting people saved for him? Folks, preachers have tried this to no avail. You can't teach the world. You cannot preach the world to win the world. It doesn't work that way. My pastors told stories about how they used to wear dress clothes, you know, on Sunday night. Then they went to blue jeans. Then they went to T-shirts. Then they went to dirty T-shirts and, you know, had this crazy rock and roll band. And they had all kinds of kids coming. But then something happened. Yeah. A bunch of these kids started getting into very serious trouble. And crazy stuff started happening. Not good. You can't preach the world to the world to win the world. You can't do that. And I mean, what I mean is, preachers can't do that. And it's important that you all know that. Like when you're thinking about, you know, if you're looking for a church, you have to teach the Word of God to the world in order to win the world and get them saved. You got to preach the Word of God to them. You have to. It's very important. And outreaches are important. And it's important. So, you know, we celebrate this time right now. And we do all this stuff with the decorations, the Christmas trees, the snowmen, Frosty, Santa Claus, Christmas carols, you know, some people have slammed it. I kind of like it. I love the humor, honestly. But, you know, It's all in great fun, but, you know, this might be my favorite time of the year, just like my pastor. And, by the way, I am dreaming of a white Christmas. And I think we're going to get that, but I'll get to that update in a bit. However, while you were doing all these wonderful festivities, decorating the trees, listening to Christmas carols, singing the Christmas carols, even the Christian ones, you know. Think about what you're doing. Think about why we're celebrating Christmas, which leads me to a list of five things. These are five things that Jesus did for which we celebrate Christmas. He came to do these five things. Number one, Jesus came to save the sinners from their sins. That means he came for salvation. Number two, Jesus came to deliver us from sin. That means that means you're cheating maybe a bit. Maybe you're taking some stuff. Maybe you're drinking some beer. Maybe you're into some other things. God came to deliver you from that stuff. Even if you're a kid and maybe you're doing some things you shouldn't be doing. Maybe your grades aren't so good at school. You know, God can help you. You ask God to help you and deliver you. You know, and God will help you. You know, if you're a kid and you're having trouble and you're going down the wrong path, Jesus loves you more than your parents. He does. He loves you more than your parents. So he wants you to succeed even more than what your parents do. He does. Yeah. So that means, you know, if you're not doing so well in school and you're struggling, you know, your parents might not want to see you struggle so hard. God doesn't want to see you struggle, and he wants to help you. So it wouldn't hurt to ask God the answers to the test. Study your book and do all that, but it doesn't hurt to ask God also. You know, I heard a story once about somebody who asked God, and God gave him all the answers, and they aced the test. But that to say, yes, he came to deliver us from our sins as Christians. Number three, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And you know, these insurance companies that say these hurricanes are an act of God.
These floods. The floods are flooding me, and it's truly an act of God. Hurricane Harvey is an act of God. What do we do?
That's not an act of God. That's not an act of God. It's not. That is Satan trying to destroy people's houses and stuff. Some of it's Mother Nature, but the out-and-out destruction, that's not God. That's the work of Satan. Number four, Jesus came to give life, and life more abundantly. I received that gift from God when I was little. The spirit of death was upon me four different times when I was little, and we never gave up on me. We never gave up on me. My mom never gave up on me. She could have. She could have just taken that shot one of those times. She could have just said, you know what, forget it. He's taking the shot. She didn't. She said, my son's going to live and not die. Referring to me. So he came to give life, and life more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Number five, Jesus came in order to give us governance. Governance. No, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about our politicians. We're talking about that he came to give us guidance and help us and to give us help us, you know, and show us, you know, our life is not our own. He came to be that means he came to be our guide. Jesus came to be our governor, our spiritual governor. He came to help keep us in order, you know, if we need it. So he came to give us governance. So if people on Monday or even going into New Year's, and they ask you, what are the five reasons for Christmas based on those things that Jesus did? You can tell them. Number one, he came to save sinners from their sins. Number two, he came to save those of us who know him as our Lord and Savior. He came to deliver us from our sins. Number three, Jesus came to Hang on, I'm just remembering for a second. Number three, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Number four, you can tell them that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And you can, and number five, you can say that Jesus came to give us, to give governance. He came to give governance. He came to give governance. And there's verses for all of these, one of which I read tonight, in which was in Matthew 1:21, that he came to save his people from their sins. And I got some things and some fun poems that I'm gonna read over the next couple of nights that talk about some things about Christmas. One is, "'Twas the night before Christmas." Another is gonna be, "'Twas the day after Christmas." And we got, I've got one on a Christmas tree, and I have one on a candy cane, and some other ones. But that will be coming in within the next couple nights. And but now, this would be after this challenge that you've heard. Right now would be a great time for you to give your life to Christ, to my Jesus, who saved me from death four times. Right now would be a great time for you to accept my Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Before we do anything else, I feel like I should just pause for a second. Give you a chance to think. And think about this. If I died tonight, do I know for sure that I would make heaven? If you're not sure, you can call that the special number, 215-383-2810. Press 1, go through the screener. You can call us, and we'll help you. We don't have to know all your stuff, but we want to help you. We want to help you either give your life to Christ for the first time or recommit. Now, those of you listening to this program, I'm going to make a confession. A sinner's prayer. When you do, when I say it, I want you to repeat after me. We're going to do it together. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into me. Make me fresh and new. I do not want to be my own anymore. I want to be with you. Show me how to live like you and love like you. Show me what is biblically right from wrong. And fill me with your presence. And fill me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that only took a few seconds. And you know what, folks? It was painless. It didn't cost any money. Because a lot of people these days, everybody wants your money. The store wants your money. The restaurant wants it. The Christmas tree farm wants it. Everybody wants it. But it But you know, if you go out and buy one of those Christmas trees, those real Christmas trees, the farm wants your money. But that giving your life to Christ didn't cost you any money. But it's the best decision you'll ever make. It is. And as long as you live for Him and do what He says, you're on your way to heaven. And praise God. Thank God all the time that we don't have to, you know, kill animals anymore in order to talk to God. Think of God. I just think about this all the time, that He was that sacrifice. He was that second Adam. And the fact that Jesus came to save us from that Adamic nature, because of how Adam was the first sinner. Adam was. He and Eve ate that fruit. My pastor talked about this yesterday morning at church. He talked about how Jesus came to save us from that and help us, you know, so that we don't have to kill all those animals, you know, in order to talk to God, and all this stuff about five lambs in the first year and a heifer. How God is a bloody God. And we know it. But Jesus paid the price so we don't have to do all that stuff. We just have to come to Him and repent. And tell Him, you know, we're wrong. And we'll be back right with God again. Lord God, bless these people for listening to my challenge. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, that people understand and that people are receptive of this. I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless them. Thank you, Lord God, that these people now know what to say when they get asked, you know, what Christmas is about, what's the meaning of Christmas, why do we do this, why do we do that. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I was thinking, there's so many great Christmas songs out there, but I was thinking of one I was going to do and decided, no, I might do one of the other two nights. And so I was thinking of this one to do. Oh, come all ye faithful. And so here we go. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exhortation. Sing, all ye citizens in heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas segment of tonight's episode has been brought to you by Coca-Cola. to remind you that at Christmas time, to remind you that at Christmas time, it is always time for Coca-Cola, or any time of the year, but certainly at Christmas. Me and my mom and I got into a little discussion about this a couple of years ago. My mom was telling me, you know, Rev, to me, for some reason, I feel like at Christmas I see more people drinking Coke than I do Pepsi and some of these other ones. Like, an overwhelming greater amount. Yes? Hello? Hello? What was all that about? Preacher man.
You're live, man. Go for it.
But anyhow, so I'm talking to mom, and she's telling me that, and she says, do you think it has to do with maybe Coke feels more like Christmas than Pepsi? And I said, or some of these other companies, you know, that make soda. And I said, Mom, I think you're right. And Coke, for some reason to me, really does have more of a Christmas feel to it than what Pepsi and these other drinks. And I mean it. They would have the Santa Claus on the bottle, you know, and all that. That goes to show with, you know, some of the McDonald's items. To me, you know, for some reason, when I think of what savory item that McDonald's has, reminds me the most of Christmas. There's two main items I can think of. One is the chicken McNuggets, and the other is the French fries. These are the savory items. These are not the holiday, the custard pie or the eggnog shake. These are the savory items, like what you eat for your meal, you know, your nuggets and fries or your burger or whatever. Nuggets, for some reason, they have a great taste that remind me of Christmas. And so do the fries. I remember one time, one Christmas gift I got at school one time, and it was actually wrapped up. They were actually wrapped. The person actually wrapped them. Was some chicken McNuggets from McDonald's. This was at school when I was like 12 or so. One of the Christmas gifts I got was some McNuggets from McDonald's. And even before that, for some reason, ever since I was little, McNuggets reminded me of Christmas. When you go to McDonald's and you're looking for, what's that quote-unquote perfect Christmas meal? Here's what I would say. I would say you go through McDonald's, get yourself the size nugget that you feel is right for you, 4, 6, 10, or 20, get whatever size fry you would like, and then you follow that up with either an eggnog shake or a peppermint mocha or a Coca-Cola, your choice. Now, small McCafe drinks are $2 and will be that way for a while, thanks to McDonald's rolling out their new $1, $2, and $3 menu that launches in January. And the sodas are at $1 and will be staying at $1 for a while. So this idea of limited time offer, not so much limited time necessarily, but prices and participation may vary, so please still check on that to make sure your local McDonald's is participating. Now, my McSpiel McDonald's commercial is over. It is time to delve into the wonderful world that is fall, NFL, and we begin with your Detroit Lions, who on Saturday played the Chicago Bears at Ford Field in downtown Detroit on Saturday at 4:30. and the Detroit Lions. I said they would win, and I said it would be close, and they actually did a bit better than I thought they were going to do. They won 20-10. They held their opponent to just 10 points. Could have been 3 points, because at one point it was 20-3, but they gave up a touchdown with a couple minutes left. Lions only gave up 80-some rushing yards to the Bears in Detroit, compared to over 200 rushing yards when they played in Soldier Field in November. Stafford, great game. 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions. We did great, so much of a better job at keeping control of the football, and that really helped. We did well at keeping penalties at bay a bit. But for the playoffs, we have to win out, and we have to hope and pray, because the NFC South is not going away very quietly. And the NFC South is going to fight its way out of it. And what I mean is, a good example of this is tonight, even though for one team it doesn't matter so much, for the other team it matters a lot. And here's what it is. The Atlanta Falcons tonight, who are 8-5, go to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers, who are 6-7 or 5-8, one of the two. And they got to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. I already predicted that game on Wednesday night, so I'm not going to predict it again, but I'm sticking by that prediction. I said the Falcons are going to cover it and they're going to win, and I believe it. Ryan's doing a good job. So right now they're one of those wild card teams. And the other wild card team is currently Carolina. So you may be asking me, Miracle Man, give us an update on these NFC divisions. What's going on in the NFC? And what about the Lions? What happened there? Well, Philadelphia has won the NFC East, and they get the overall first round bye. They're 12-2. They're 12-2. They wrapped up that first round bye, and they won the NFC East. Let's go to the North now, the one with the Lions in it. Vikings, 11-3. They beat Cincinnati yesterday, 34-7. In Cincinnati. So they won 34-7 Vikings. Vikings are 11-3. They win NFC North and get the second bye. Number 3 seed. Right, currently, Los Angeles Rams. They are 10-4. Number 4, New Orleans Saints, 10-4. Number 5 seed currently is Carolina Panthers, 10-4. They beat the Packers, 31-24. In a game I said they would win. I said the Panthers would beat the Packers even with Rodgers back. They did. And by the way, number four, Jets, 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 Jets. Saints, the Saints did win. They won 31-19. They win 31-19. The Saints over Jets, 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 Jets. And the and the Panthers win 31-24 over the Pack. Go Pack, go. Of course, I'm saying no Pack, no, but you know. So number six is Atlanta. So the team who ended up winning the NFC last year and made it to the Super Bowl and was the number two seed is the number six seed right now as it stands. Now, I'm going to talk a minute about this NFC South, because right now the NFC South is fighting it out the end of the season. Right now, Atlanta's playing the Bucks tonight at 8:30 in Tampa Bay. Then Atlanta has to play Carolina again, and then they have to play New Orleans again. Actually, it's New Orleans and then Carolina. So they have to separate. So, what could happen? Atlanta, they could end up at 11-5. I doubt it. How about New Orleans? Could I see them losing one more game? It's possible. What about Carolina? Could they win the could they go on and win the NFC South? It's possible. I cannot predict. I still cannot predict who's going to win the NFC South. I can't do it. I can't right now. I'm going to think about these games, you know, these NFC South matchups that are going on next weekend. I'm going to think them over. And I'm going to make my decisions in time for Wednesday night when I do my NFL predictions, my football predictions as far as what I feel is going to happen on the weekend. That's when you're going to have an idea, oh, yeah, Miracle Man Sports, and what I feel like is going to happen. Now, the Seahawks. They got blew out at home 42-7? Wow. 42-7 by the Rams. 42-7. Wow. Pete Carroll never lost that bad since he's been the coach. And this was at home. Right now, Lions and Seahawks 8-6. Right now, Lions own the tiebreaker, so they would be number seven. So you're going to have to pray that one of those AFC South teams lose a game. I mean, NFC South teams lose a game. Do I think Atlanta's going to lose tonight to Tampa Bay? Uh-uh. Tampa Bay almost beat the Lions, but Lions did some things to mess up their chances. I mean, what they messed themselves up at times, but they were able to luckily pull it out. But what, you know, when it comes to that's NFC is. So you got number one Eagles, number two Vikings, number three it looks like is going to be the Rams, and then. Looks the rest of them have to be worked out. That's the NFC playoff picture. Let's go to the AFC. In a game that mattered very, very, very much. for the AFC. Steelers of the AFC North versus Patriots of AFC East. You could almost call this possibly the AFC Championship Part 1 if you wanted, because I think it's possible that that's what it could end up being. But in that game, you had the it ended up being New England 27, Pittsburgh 24 in Pittsburgh, as Patriots got a last-minute touchdown and able to stop the Steelers. So right now, Steelers are number one overall. No, Patriots are overall number one in AFC for the playoffs. They're 11-3. I think they're going to get that bye. One of the two byes. And I also think Pittsburgh is going to get a bye. Every reason to believe it, because the AFC South, AFC West are interesting, but neither one of them have an amazing team where you just look at it and go, wow, you know, wow. So AFC and NFC are kind of similar this year as far as the teams who are going to be getting the byes, in my mind, are AFC and NFC respectively, North, and again, East. Now, on the AFC side, the Chiefs actually came out and got a pretty good win, and they charged the Chargers. I said the Chargers were going to beat the Chiefs, and I got it wrong. I thought the Chargers were going to stay on their scorching hot bandwagon and just keep the winning going and triumph to win an AFC West championship. But they took a step backward with a loss. But it's still possible that the Rivers and the LA Chargers could get it. But you need to look at something else. The Raiders folks, who were also on the running, they took a step back last night with a loss to Dallas in Oakland, 27-21. This was in Oakland. They took a step backward with a loss. So the AFC West looks like it could end up going to the Chiefs. It's not said and done for sure, but it looks like it. Now, what about the AFC South? I think it's going to go to Jacksonville because Tennessee lost to the 49ers yesterday. They lost to the Niners. At one point, they were leading the AFC South. And then you lose to the Niners? Wow. That, to me, might have been my biggest surprise of the weekend. That, to me, is a huge shocker. The Niners beating the Titans. But for the Niners, it's their third win this year. They are now 3-10. But then you got the lowly Browns. Excuse me, they're 3-11, the Niners are. You got the lowly Browns. They lose badly again. 0-14. Faulty a win on that Browns schedule for the last two games. I don't. I honestly feel they're going to lose. They finish the home season at 0-8. So I honestly feel they're going to go on the road the last two games and they're going to lose them both. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they get a win. But in another way, as a Detroit fan, I'm ready to get the stain off my back, stain off our back, that says we're the only team to ever go 0-16. What did you say, Mr. P?
I said the Lions did about 10 years ago.
This was 9 years ago, actually, but it would feel better, if the Browns did it, because then it wouldn't be like we're the only one with the stain, Then it kind of.
We're about throwing one in the Super Bowl.
Same with the Browns. But anyhow, folks, the Browns, they are in a huge mess. They're going to really have to work hard at some things. They really are. They had the number one pick in the draft last year, and they're no better. Lions had the number one pick back in 08, and they got better, but was still among the worst teams in the league in 09. Some of you longtime Lions fans may recall, we went from 0-16 to 2-14, which 2-14 is still very bad, but hey, it's a step forward. If you're used to, if you were 0-16 the previous year, then the next year, 6-10, started off 2-10, and we're thinking, okay, same place as last year, we're not going to go forward at all. Then we won four games in a row. 2011, 7-6. We start out 6-0. Amazing. But then we fall on some hard times, and then we lose to Green Bay, the team who had a 15-1 record that year. And then 2012, we take a step backward. And then from there, it would be good one year, bad another. It would be, 2012, they were not good. 2013, 7-9. 14, 11-5. 15, they started like 1-8 or whatever, and then they started winning again and did a bit better. Sixth last year, 10-6. And then this year, same thing. So they're 8-6 right now, but it's gonna be really hard for the Browns, I think, to get a win this year. I just don't see something a bit more positive and get off of these lowly Browns. Pistons, they have now won two in a row. They get a good win last night, 100-90. They get a good win. And they just got to keep it going. Michigan this weekend for basketball, they ran Detroit Mercy, out of the building 90-57 on a 31-6 run during the second half. Michigan State won a bit of a closer game at Little Caesars Arena this weekend with Oakland University, the Golden Grizzlies. But they keep their number two ranking, the NCAA basketball men's Division I bracket. And again, the sports segment of tonight with a note to give you. The Tigers have traded away. Who was it again they traded, Mr. P? Who was it they traded?
Kinsler.
Oh, excuse me. They traded Ian Kinsler. Ian Kinsler is no longer a Tiger. He is going to Los Angeles to be part of the Angels. And we got in return a rookie, is it? Is it a rookie?
Yeah.
A rookie and then some cash?
No, there was two players.
We got two players. One to...
Pitcher,
a pitcher and an outfielder. In exchange for Kinsler. So we're now... You can add Kinsler to a list of the players who were on last year's team for at least part of the season who are no longer here. So, Tigers are officially in rebuilding mode as we are getting close to being halfway through the off season. Spring training is going to be coming up in a couple months. But right now, I don't want to think about that because right now I'm focused on Christmas. And I'm ready to have, you know, a good Christmas. So, with that in mind, I'm actually going to do something different this week. I'm going to sing two songs each show this week. One's going to be spiritual. The other one's not going to be. So, here we go. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. What do you recall? The most famous reindeer of all. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any of their games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, yippee! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, hoo, 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 Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him, as they shouted out with glee, yippee! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, reindeer, you'll go down in history like George Washington or John Wayne. Well, I heard either way from when I was little in music class. But anyhow, folks, without further ado, I hope you guys, everybody, enjoyed the great show tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed, listened and paid attention to the Word of God, as well as paid attention to, and really enjoyed the first Christmas song and then the sports update, as well as the other Christmas song. And I just hope that everybody enjoyed the show. So until tomorrow night, everybody, God first, God always, and until tomorrow night, or if we don't see you before Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your King. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. There we go. God first, God always. See you tomorrow night, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Yep. Yep. We'll see you all. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bless you, man.
Bless you, too. Thank you so much.